Yes, my lord.
I expect you not to rest until you can assure the Emperor that Galen Erso has not compromised this weapon in any way.
So I'm still in command? You'll speak to the Emperor about me.
Be careful not to choke on your aspirations, Director.
At various points in the history of the Star Wars universe, Anakin Skywalker takes on a new apprentice, an orphan begins his journey toward becoming a smuggling legend, and a ragtag group of rebels steals the plans for the Death Star. This is an epic epilogues event, so epic I can't even get the words out of mouth. As tonight, we review three Star Trek films, starting with The Wrath of Khan.
Take two.
Oh, it's Star Wars. Close. It's Star Wars.
Yeah, really close.
Okay, that's what it is. Tonight, ladies
if it was Star Trek, Kaz would have been here, obviously.
Yeah, well, no, he wouldn't, but that's some different reasons. it's officially gonna be May. Yeah, you see that meme?
It is May. Oh, I hate when people share that shit on May. It already is May.
I hate that meme in general. That's a different show. Oh. Maybe that'll be this Thursday. Tune in. But all month long on Extras and Epilogues, except for next week, we're reviewing all of the Star Wars films. It's Star Wars month on Podzilla 1985. Except for next week, which is Fallout week. It gets kind of complicated. But this episode of Extras and Epilogues, by the way, my name is Shannon Young. I'll be your host. The balcony, the theater is open. With me, of course, I have Double H Hunter Hendricks.
Shannon, be careful not to choke on your aspirations.
That's the opening clip. I already decided it. That's the opening clip.
Nice.
And Lindsay Wolfgang.
I am here.
As if they didn't get enough of your ass last month. Here you are back again.
I know.
We'll have a rotating. We'll have a rotating cast of people. I'm sorry, Lindsay. Don't shut up. We'll have a rotating cast of people this month, starting with Lindsay, because we're talking about Clone Wars. Actually, the three movies we are reviewing tonight, and yes, we're reviewing three tonight, and three every episode. We have a method to our madness, and tonight we're reviewing the Clone Wars, Solo, and Rogue One. So
yes,
here's how I think we should do this. We'll give our thoughts on the films, and I think whatever we do at the end of it, we should rank every week. Let's rank the three movies amongst themselves as which ones we think, instead of doing the epilogues, because you can't do epilogues for this, because there's so much content.
Well, we already know what happens. Literally, there's only one movie in these 12 that would be worth talking about the epilogue, because that's the end, so what happens after that?
Yes.
It's a very, what do they call it, shag, marry, kill kind of situation. That's what we're into here.
Very much. Yeah. So we will give our individual rankings on which movies we think are best. And I think most of us are going to be around on the same page, but there may be some slight variations. We'll see. I guess let's jump into it. Tonight, it's these three films. Next week, let's just jump into it. Important programming note, though. Next week is Fallout week. So we are skipping 1 week next week. We'll be starting the Fallout campaign for plays. We will also be reviewing the Fallout TV show, which, spoiler alert, two thumbs up. I'm just going to tell you now.
And the first time we've ever reviewed a show done a TV show. Yeah. This is a month of firsts. So all of our Star Wars episodes are three movie episodes. We're doing three movies in one episode. Yeah. And then Fallout next week will be the first time we've done a show.
So it's a wild month. Yeah. May's going to be a wild month on Podcast 25. So Star Wars all month long, except for next week, which will be entirely Fallout focused. But let's jump into these movies first. I feel like
let's do it.
And I realized that I accidentally watched these in they actually are in chronological order. If you think about it, I thought the movies were just like just random movies put out, but no. Clone Wars in the timeline technically does come first and was also released first. Solo is technically the next one. It was released 2 years after Rogue One, so it's release wise, it's out of the loop, but the way I watched them today, completely randomly,
yeah.
I watched Clone Wars, then Solo, then Rogue One, and somebody I watched it with said, "Yeah, did you mean to watch them in, you know, chronological or timeline order?" And I was like, "Oh, I didn't know I did, but yeah, that works. That's good." Yeah.
Well, I was going to say that's how I put them in the notes, and then I realized I haven't shared these notes with you guys in weeks or in a couple of weeks, I guess. So yeah, that's the way I also ended up going back and rewatching them.
So we'll spend about 15 to 20 minutes per. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. We'll get to that. We'll spend about 15, 20 minutes per movie, except for the Clone Wars, which will be significantly shorter. Let's start with the Clone Wars. This was a movie basically created to introduce you to the new series, which was the 3D modeled Clone Wars TV show. Oh, literally.
So this movie is three episodes of the show sort of grafted together. That's why it's 98 minutes long. It's almost exactly three 30-minute episodes, and they're kind of grafted together with some little connecting tissue. You can, if you're watching the movie and you know that's the case, you can see the stop gaps. Like, you can see where one episode ends and the next one begins.
The only difference with this one is that the movie is quite bad, whereas the show... I've been told it's quite good. Lindsay's a big fan of it. That's why she's on this episode. We could have also invited Tanner to this episode, but we have Tanner. I got him booked for a later one. I want Tanner on a later one. Yes. I wanted Lindsay here for Clone Wars because she knows and she loves so much about it. So let's get to the stats. 98 minutes, like Hunter said. It definitely feels like multiple episodes. And somehow, much like I think Mad God... it was so short and yet felt so long sometimes. There were times I thought it had been on for 3 hours, and by the end of it, I thought it was a 30-minute movie. I was like, what is happening?
I watched this movie, so this was the rewatch bit. I've actually never seen this movie. This is the only movie out of the 12 Star Wars movies that I had never seen.
Same.
So I, because of time constraints this week, I had to watch it over the course of 3 days in three 30-minute installments. And I thought, oh, that'll work out. Because, well, 30 minutes, you know, give or take a couple times, it was a little longer, but whatever. I thought that'll work out pretty well because, again, I know, having done the research for the movie, that it's three 30-minute episodes. Every time I finished a stretch of this, I looked at the clock and went, how the hell was that only 30 minutes?
Yeah.
How was that only 30 minutes? And not in the, like, a X-Men 97 kind of way where I go, oh, my God, how was that only 30 minutes? It feels like it was a full feature-length movie in a good way. More of that, what happened in that time? In 30 minutes, what really was accomplished?
Yeah.
What did we really do?
So, oh God, let me get through the rest of the stats, and then I got to talk about this.
I know, I'm sorry.
But budget versus box office, $8.5 million budget versus $68.3 million. It's not a Star Wars hit, but it's a hit. It's a hit.
It made money.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, there was also a shit ton of marketing put behind this movie. I have no idea what they paid to be. It was the very first time, I didn't know this until I was doing the research, the very first time that Star Wars had been featured in a Happy Meal at McDonald's.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Okay. Apparently never prior to that. I think Star Wars was a Burger King kind of thing. So McDonald's got them in for this. Pizza Hut, that's right. I knew somebody else had them. It was the first time it was featured in a Happy Meal. It was all over the place with video games and toys.
I wouldn't say it was a Happy Meal. I would have been sad had I gotten
it
toys.
It was a very talkative meal that didn't really go anywhere.
No, you ate the meal for 90 minutes, and then when you were done, you were like, did I even eat anything? I felt like I consumed nothing. It's like eating Chinese food.
Oh, man.
I love you, John Panetta. I miss you. critical reception, 19% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah, 4.2 out of 10.
That tracks.
A quote from the reviews. Remember how people talked about the Star Wars prequels like they were the worst movies ever made when really they weren't that bad? This movie actually is that bad. Let's jump into it. Really quick, hear the storyline. I don't know. I watched it and I still don't know. Something about Jabba's kid, I guess.
Well, you notice if you go back to the intro that you did, so this is the first time I've ever written the intros. I didn't pull them straight from IMDb because it's three different movies. I got to put them together. The only thing I can think to say about this movie, the only thing memorable about it, is that Anakin gets Ahsoka as a Padawan.
So, Lindsay, resident Clone Wars expert, this was the first thing Ahsoka was in, right?
Yes.
What a terrible introduction because I hated her.
Yes.
That's the point, though.
Oh, God.
Like, is it, I also, is it I also, though?
hate Ahsoka, but you later learn the whole point is you're supposed to hate her, so you start to like her as she becomes a better individual.
Now,
I 100% fell for that because I used to hate Ahsoka until about like season 4 or 5 of the Clone Wars. She starts to get a lot better.
Can I make a comment real quick? I think there is a difference between introducing a character that you're not supposed to like versus introducing a character that is obnoxious and makes you not want to see them.
Correct. And that is exactly what I was going to say. There's something to be said for introducing a character who is unlikable in a way that can be redeemed versus a character that is just not fun to watch in any way. Yes. Unlikable characters can be fun to watch.
Yes.
When they
it's always things sunny.
That are interesting. Exactly.
Yeah.
Seinfeld. These shows exist with characters that are horrible, awful people or do bad things or say things that are totally off the cuff, but you want to watch what happens to them. No part of me watched this movie introducing this character and went, I want to see where that goes. We'll see what happens with her.
When Lindsay tried to sell me on watching the Ahsoka series on Disney, it took a little bit because the only thing I knew about Ahsoka, because I never watched the TV series, she did. I never watched Rebels, she did.
Yeah.
I only knew Ahsoka from this. I had never even seen the movie, but I had seen clips and stuff like that, and she was unbearable, and she is unbearable. Now, to Lindsay's credit...
So annoying.
She is unbearable in this film.
And not in a good way. She's unbearable in a I don't want to see you on my screen way. Now, I really like the Ahsoka series. Rosario Dawson did a great job, and from what I understand, she does become a better character. I mean, she clearly becomes a better character because she's a beloved character now. But at the time, I remember there was some pushback on Ahsoka because she was so obnoxious in this movie. Now, when you take her out of the equation, the rest of the movie, I cannot tell you what happened. Here's all I remember. All I remember is he got a Padawan. Obi-Wan said some borderline sexual harassment quotes to people. And then Jabba got his kid back at the end or something. And then there was a light and the movie ended. And I pulled the cigarette out of my mouth and went, what the hell was that?
Never before have I watched a movie where so much happens and also nothing happens.
Yeah.
Because to me, this is the exact cardinal sin that was perpetuated by specifically Attack of the Clones, not to get ahead of ourselves here for movies here in a couple of weeks. But at any given point in time in this movie, there are blasters going off all over the place. There are 14 lightsabers on the screen.
Right.
It's colorful. It's flashing. People are fighting. People are dying. They're enacting military moves. And yet at the end of every one of these little skirmishes, I went, what was accomplished?
Yeah.
What did they do? Who got something done?
I can't with this movie. It was the animation was bad too. I don't know, was it just me or was the animation
Easter Island head looking ass?
You also have to keep in mind this was 2008 computer animation.
I mean, that's true.
2008 when there was animation that looked much better than
but this was also technically done by the same studios that were going to be doing the TV series, if not already. So the budgets.
But I think and the budget, that is a good point. The budget was only $8.5 million. This was probably the smallest budget in a Star Wars film ever.
Animation cost a lot.
Other than the holiday specials, I'm sure.
Which was done on $50 and a can of tuna.
Yeah. Well, you know what's really funny is you'll see it later, and of course inflation makes a big difference, but you can, because I've already done the notes for so much, you can skim down. A New Hope cost, if I remember correctly, I did combined budget and box office for those. A New Hope, I think, cost like $11 million to make.
Yeah.
Like next to nothing.
Right.
Wow.
Compared to this. And it's just sad.
There was something about the animation in this film, though, because I've watched parts of the series.
They don't blink. Their faces don't move except for their
weird.
Mouths.
Their eyes look so weird.
It's Lindsay, just the mouth.
Hunter and I are jabbing at each other. Go ahead. Talk about this movie real quick.
The animation in this one is very rough. But again, like everything else, as it's got time, it evolves and moves forward. So again, this is the starting point for what the Clone Wars became.
And I get that.
I've been watching The Bad Batch. I haven't got to watch my last episode yet. It is going to wreck me as soon as I do. But looking at how far that animation style has come from this was painful to look at.
Yeah, it was bad. And I get that because, like, go back to any animated show, King of the Hill, The Simpsons. They all started rough. The Simpsons was horrible when it started.
But CG series are always rougher than hand-drawn, yes, because you have more that you have to go into in order to stylize it, and you're going to have pixelation if it's not done properly.
Well, and to me, bad CG then, which was technically good CG then, looks like bad CG now. Like, if you look at these, this movie looks like one of those rip-off Pixar films. That's what it looks like. Yes. That's what the and that's what I thought when I watched it. And I realized that this is, what, 18 years ago, I think? 14 years ago? No, 16. 16.
Or 16, yeah, right in the middle.
16 years ago, so a lot's changed. But when I saw this movie, it just gave me those, oh, wow, this is a Pixar ripoff vibe. This isn't Star Wars. This is like Star Battles or Space Wars, you know?
Which they purposely
this was, we got Star Wars at home.
They purposely gave it more of an angular design to make it stand out from other studios.
And I get that. Not a choice I would have made.
Yeah, again, why does everybody look like their Easter Island statues come to life? Like, those heads are just ridiculous.
Hey, where you going, boys? Where you going with them heads?
They moved. All I can think was, hey, fellas,
where you going with them
where
heads?
Where you going with them heads? It looks terrible. It just looks terrible.
I don't mean to bash this, because I don't know if Lindsay likes it or not.
How do you feel about it? It's not... The film I do not like.
But you like the show.
What came from the film, yeah. I like the show. And even the show, the first season of the show is hard to watch, too. And it's in this exact same style.
Yeah.
Like, it really doesn't start to pick up more until season two.
Now,
and what honestly got me into it more were the clones, not Ahsoka and Anakin.
To be
shows don't do better until they get until like a season or two in. I mean, look, you just name dropped It's Always Sunny. Not the same thing, but like that's a great show as an example. Seinfeld, The Office, a lot of great sitcoms in particular are like that. Most animated shows, the early Simpsons stuff on the Tracy Ullman show is like kind of hard to watch now.
Even the first season of Simpsons.
Right. But the thing is, this is why you don't introduce a series with a fucking movie that's just three episodes.
Well, and
you get through a few episodes on TV.
Then you do the movie.
And then make a movie later. Yeah. Exactly.
And
it makes no sense to me.
I'll say it now. I hate the art style, not just of this, but Clone Wars in general. I don't like that 3D animation look.
Yeah, it doesn't work for me either.
And that's just a personal preference. This isn't a knock on anyone that likes it. That is just a personal preference. But since I am the one reviewing this, and this is my thoughts, I hated the look. I thought the guys that were in the film, like the voice actors, did a good job. Everybody was solid.
Mostly,
that went on to do the show, I think. Like,
did Ashley Eckstein go on to do the show?
She did. Yeah, and she got better.
Oh,
she got better.
And I was gonna say, I got
Baker. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a bunch of criticisms about that one. Again, talking about being annoying, Ashley Eckstein is a great voice actor.
Yeah.
She sounds like no one is directing her in this series.
Well, it sounds like Lucas come back?
She's reading. It's what it feels like. It sounds like it's the most. First of all, the dialogue's terrible. Again, I thought that Lucas wrote it because it's wooden dialogue like nobody's business. But she sounds like every one of her lines she's reading independent of everything else. No one's in the room bouncing off the lines for her. No one is like, you know, given additional readings. She's not reading them together. It's like, take one, here's a line. Take two, here's a line.
Yeah. She's like Krusty.
More annoying.
She's Krusty recording the voiceovers. Lindsay, who's the guy that does
it's
Anakin?
Bad. Is it Matt Taven? He's
no.
one of them, I think, yes. isn't he?
Yeah, it's Matt.
Are you sure he does Anakin?
I don't know if he did it in this one, but I think that's...
Because I'm going to look it up real quick. Because I think the same guy... I'm pretty sure most of them did the voiceovers that they did in the show.
I'm sure Matt is the one that was Anakin.
Matt Lanter.
Yeah, it is. Matt Lanter. He's good. I think he does a great Anakin. He really brought Anakin up a little bit. James Arnold Taylor did Obi-Wan, and he's a great Obi-Wan. Yeah. I didn't have any problems with them. The voice acting was solid, and I can see where this does make the characters better. But I still can't tell you what happened in the movie, and I watched it. I remember there was a part where Padme was in disguise, and then they immediately recognized her and kept her hostage. And I'm like, oh, they caught Padme. I don't know what happened to her. Did she get out? I can't remember.
Yes.
I can't remember. It's a block in my head. I was
Sam Jackson... I don't know why they got Sam Jackson for this movie. I think the first thing I told you about this when I started watching it was Sam Jackson sounds like he would rather whip his dick off and throw it in the river than be in this movie. He sounds bored. I mean, he was kind of like that as Mace Windu anyway. Let's get real. Like, stoic, a few years Hunter. On, we can look back stoic. At him in the prequels. Stoic is a very specific thing that Sam Jackson can do. He's a very good actor. Not in these.
No.
And this one in particular. Again, he's not a voice actor. I'm sorry. Stop hiring people who are not voice actors to voice act. The only person who I think did a great job of that here, who kind of crosses the boundary, Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
And Christopher Lee's great in everything. He is kind of a voice actor. He's done a lot of voice acting.
He was great in Last Unicorn, even though the character was whatever. He was great.
Yes.
Yeah, Christopher Lee is... other than when I saw him, the first thing I said to the people that were with me, I said, why the long face? Because his face is so fucking long. Because everybody...
character
stretched his head out.
I can't.
It's weird.
I said we'd do 20 minutes of movie. We got to stick to it. Let's get to the review. Basically, what we'll do is we'll give our review, then we'll go to the next one, and then at the end, we'll rank them all. So, review for The Clone Wars, the first... theatrical animated Star Wars film. I think the only theatrically animated film. Yeah. For me, it's one thumbs down. I can't give it two thumbs down because I love Star Wars and I didn't hate the movie. I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it. It wasn't good on almost any level. Other than the fact that I like Anakin. He's my favorite character in the Star Wars universe. I think they do him justice in the Clone Wars series. They really fleshed him out. But this movie is just, it's boring. It's boring and loud at the same time. It's like Hunter said, it's so much stuff that's so uninteresting. You don't care. This was a bad film. I think this is the worst Star Wars film of the entire series. And I know Rise of Skywalker exists, but this was much more annoying. So this is one thumbs down for me.
You're too kind. It's two thumbs down for me. This is one of the worst things I've watched in a while. And don't get me wrong, we just came off of Mad God and a couple of other things that I really just could not stand.
It's been a bad year for Hunter.
It's just, well, no, you know what's funny is it's been a lot of highs and lows, because I think back to January and watching and Rocky downs. And going, wow, this fucking movie is great. White Men Can't Jump. I've never seen.
Yeah.
White Men Can't Jump, a movie that I will absolutely, I kind of want to watch it again right now. But you know, this was terrible. I mean, no matter how much I love Star Wars, and I fucking love, you can see the shelf behind me, I fucking love Star Wars. But nothing about this movie was interesting. I didn't care about anything that was happening. I didn't care about any of these characters. Couldn't understand where the plot was going, and that shouldn't have been that hard with three episodes of an animated series. Three animated episodes as an arc together should not have been that fucking difficult.
Low stakes.
But apparently it was. What felt like extremely low stakes and yet the highest stakes at any given point in time. And maybe the best example of that, when they're taking care of the little baby hut, I don't like the term hutlet, by the way. I heard that way too many times and that was just, didn't care for that at all.
Sky guy.
Oh God, I'll kill you. I'll kill you and her both. at any given point in time, that baby was either going to die. I mean, they literally were like, you know, don't die on me now. Or, hey, his fever broke. I think he's going to be okay. And this movie was so fucking up and down. It's all over the place. They're introducing characters I'm never going to see again. You're expecting me to kind of go into it knowing who these people are in a way. That was the other thing I thought was
like
weird.
Like Asajj Ventress.
You're just supposed to know who these people are. But also, we're also kind of introducing... I don't know, man. I didn't like the animation. I didn't like a lot of the voice acting. I didn't like the story. You can slap Star Wars on a box of dog shit, and it's still dog shit.
And they
shit.
Have.
So, and they did it. And it's called The Clone Wars. Yeah, no, I didn't like it at all. Two thumbs down. I can't just say, oh, I liked it because it was Star Wars. I can't do that. Can't get past that.
I didn't elaborate exactly on everything. It has, to me, at least had some parts that I like some of the whiz-bang action. I like Anakin. There was enough for me to not hate it. But again, that is purely objective, as it always is. And maybe I am
subjective.
What did I say?
Objective.
Oh, in my
objective
case.
Objective is a fact.
Yeah. In my case, it's objective. For everybody else, it's subjective. Lindsay, subject us to your review.
My review is one thumb down.
Yeah.
Because it is still terrible, but at the same time, it's the beginning of some other stuff as far as that goes. Like, if someone's getting into the Clone Wars, I might not tell them start with this, but once you're already in on the characters, go check it out.
I would do the opposite. I would let them watch the good stuff and then say, now that you've experienced the highs of life, let me show you the lows. Once they're done with the series, because you may not win them back after they watch this.
Oh, they'll not me. For the longest time, Hunter, I thought, maybe I'll go back and stuff
after this. Maybe
I'll go back and watch that series one day. And I don't know, man. I know I've heard a lot of good things about it, but I just...
I don't think I have the time. Look up like story arcs, because like I tried to watch it straight through, and it was really rough. But I found a guide that puts the episodes grouped together so that all the same story is together. So like you're
saving some trouble right now, Lindsay. I'm not doing homework to watch a fucking cartoon.
It's not a cartoon. It's animated. It's computer animated. It's Disney would tell you it's live action, just like The Lion King. So
they're making a prequel to that anyway.
Prequel of where I heard today, a guy came in the store. I won't name names, and he was telling me about it. He said, "Yeah, it's about the bad guy." I was like, "Scar?" He's like, "Yeah, and he's gay, I guess." What? Where the fuck did you get that? What the fuck are you talking about? Yeah, I guess
you realize that you are the Al Bundy of video games, right?
Yes.
A guy came into the video game store today.
Real oily guy. All right, let's jump into the next one. Let's jump into hyperspace. Let's go to light speed. Which one's Star Wars or Star Trek? I don't know anymore.
Hyperspace.
Light okay.
They're both Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what's Star Trek? What do they do? Warp.
They go to warp speed.
Warp speed. There it is. All right. Let's get the rotten taste of that last movie out of your mouth. The same way that you can get that rotten taste out of your mouth by tonight's sponsor, Liquid Death Armless Palmer Black Iced Tea. When you want the hint of iced tea, but you don't want all that flavor, pick up a Liquid Death Armless Palmer.
Also not an actual sponsor, so we're very clear about this. They never are.
So the next movie on our list for tonight is Solo. I'm Han Solo. Directed by the great Ron Howard. Yeah, there you go. Written by Lawrence Kasdan.
Who also wrote Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi.
There's a pedigree.
Lawrence Kasdan is a name that does not get enough credit, I think, because most people think of Star Wars and they think of George Lucas. And that's fair. Yeah. He created it. He directed and wrote the original. But Lawrence Kasdan is one of those guys who is a very kind of unsung hero for the common Star Wars fan when it comes to the originals, especially.
I also forgot to mention that the original directed by Dave Filoni. And the reason I wanted to mention that, the first movie, was Dave Filoni is to the Star Wars animated universe what Kevin Feige is to Marvel and Bruce Timm was to, like, Batman. He's the guy.
Yeah, in a lot of ways.
He's the guy, yeah. So
he was under Lucas's wing. Like, yeah.
He also...
All the lore and what was expected.
He and Jon Favreau are the ones who have handled The Mandalorian pretty much from the beginning. Yep. And that has been a great pairing because you've got a guy who has the pedigree. Like you said, he's kind of got the lore. And then you got a guy who has the vision in Jon Favreau who goes, here's what I want to. It's just Aykroyd and Ramis again.
That's crazy because the first thing I ever saw Jon Favreau in was a little movie called PCU. Where he played...
Oh, I thought you were going to say Rounders.
No, PCU, where he... I don't think he quite had dreads, but he was like a stoner idiot. Weird. Anyway, let's talk about this Solo film. Released on May 25th, 2018. It was the second in the A Star Wars Story films, following Rogue One, which we'll talk about here in a second. And it directed by Ron Howard, starring in an impossible role... where nobody was going to be completely satisfied. Was it Alden Ehrenreich?
I think it's Alden Ehrenreich, if I remember Alden correctly. Ehrenreich. He really hasn't done a lot since Christ. Then. Well, you're thinking of Alden Bundy.
He was great in Solo.
I thought he did a good job.
He was great.
He did. So, okay, I agree with what Shannon's saying, and I think if I can elaborate on that, and correct me if I'm wrong, like you said, in a very unenviable position.
Yes, high expectations.
No one was going to be satisfied.
Yeah.
Right. No one else but Harrison Ford is Harrison Ford.
Right.
But I admit, he did a hell of a job, Alden Ehrenreich did, with what he was given.
He sounded like him. He acted like him. He was great in this role. Also,
without parodying him or trying to make like a caricature of it. He just had the
swagger.
It's hard to copy somebody's X Factor. Yeah. And that's what it is. It's just a swagger. And he was able to pull it off.
Also starring Emilia Clarke, who's great in this movie. My favorite person in the film, Woody Harrelson, as Tobias Beckett, which I have a little trivia thing that I didn't know this until I watched it again today. I didn't hear this line until I watched it today, if this is the second time I've seen the film. And also Thandi Newton is in the film. Yeah, I watched it at the store today.
I could have swore we watched it another time before that, but okay.
We might have, and I might just be forgetting.
I've watched it several times.
There's a lot of great people in this film, and I can't remember. The guy that played Jay Leno.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Yeah.
That's not who you're thinking of, but
Paul Bettany. Isn't he? Yeah.
Paul Bettany. Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Who's the guy that played Jay Leno in the? Remember that movie they made, the made-for-TV movie, Late Shift.
Night Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or yeah, Late Shift. I can't remember. Because
he's
the
a
name.
Great actor. He's a great actor. Daniel Roebuck.
There you go. I was going to say, I'm looking at one of the cast lists, but it's not that one now. Oh, and Donald Glover.
Fuck, Donald Glover.
God. Don't get me started yet. I'll come back to that later.
So if you think that Alden did a great job as Han Solo, Lando, Donald Glover nailed it. I mean, both of these guys nailed those roles.
Incredible.
And I'm sad that they're never going to get a chance to reprise those characters. Well, except Donald Glover has long rumored to be doing a Lando TV show. But we'll see. So this is basically the origin story of Han Solo. It is 135 minutes long. Parts of it I felt were a little long, but it never felt bogged down. I never went like, God, move on. Here's the controversial thing. This was labeled a bomb when it came out. They said Star Wars is done. This was the bomb. This is the thing that'll kill the franchise. $300 million budget, which is big, versus a $393 million box office, which is also big. This movie made a lot of money. But when you count in two factors, one, the marketing and the cost was astronomical. Yeah. And two, it didn't make enough money for the studio. Did it make a ton of money? Right. Sure. But did they want more? Of course they did, because they're greedy whores.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it as that cost versus, you know, what it made, cost versus take, it didn't make anything. It ends up being a loss again, even though it is 93, I wish it was a wash, 93 million over what it cost. Like you said, you got that doesn't factor in marketing. And so not only are you technically losing money on the movie, but at this time, I mean, it's 2018. The MCU, also under Disney's banner, is making money hand over fist. Yeah. I mean, constantly. Even the newer Star Wars movies, the sequels, were starting to release at this time. And I think The Force Awakens was... That and The Last Jedi were the two that were out, because The Last Jedi is what directly impacts this movie, and that's the saddest part of it.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it when we get to the sequels, The Last Jedi comes out, and because it pisses off so many people, they go, we're going to take it out on Disney by not going to see Solo. And look, listen, if you're one of those people who goes, you know what, I'm mad at a studio, so I'm not going to go see their movie just to stick it to them. On the one hand, I get it. You're voting with your wallet, and that's very smart. On the other hand, I'm talking to you. You're fucking stupid. If you decided I'm not going to see this movie to make them mad because I didn't like another movie, recognizing that you might miss out on something you actually liked to be that guy, find fucking something else to do with your life, please.
Yeah. It's not
recognize these people don't give a shit about you.
It's not that. Well, unless you don't go see the film, then they care.
They really don't care about that either. They'll find somebody else to go do it, or they'll just stop, you know, doing that thing, but they're not going to go back and apologize for the movie. Like,
and then I'm worried that not to get off on a tangent, but I'm worried because Ghostbusters Frozen Empire didn't make a ton of money, and it was woke or something, probably, that they're not going to make another one because it was woke, because a woman had feelings. But we'll get to that some other time. We'll talk about this some other day. Goddamn, a woman having feelings. Let's talk about Solo before the woke mob cancels us for this episode. I liked Solo when I... Oh, yeah.
Critics,
yeah. 69% on Rotten Tomatoes. Nice. 6.4 out of 10. A flawed yet fun and fast-paced adventure. It should satisfy those who check their expectations at the theater door. First time I saw this movie, I liked it. The second time I watched it, I liked it more. And if this is the third time I watched it, then the third time I liked it even more. This is a fun movie. This is a good Star Wars movie.
It's a heist movie, which everybody loves, or at least in part, it's a heist movie.
Right.
It's an origin story, which when done well can be a ton of fun, especially when you have really well cast people playing the younger versions of other characters.
Yep.
It gives explanations for things that people like. It's an adventure romp. It's a little romp across the galaxy. Like
it introduces a couple of characters that, even though they're only in this film, were fun characters like Tobias Beckett and Dryden Voss. Yes. There's really good stuff in here. Only thing I didn't like about the story, it's just nitpicking. I don't like the part where they ask him, who are your people? And he says, I don't have people. And they go, huh, yeah, that's corny.
That's corny. Too much wink, wink. Hey, yeah, this is
unnecessary.
There are some things that I like having an origin story for, like finding out that the reason that Han talks to the Falcon the way he does is because at one point in time, it was basically a sentient thing in and of itself. I think that's pretty great. That's awesome. A nice little in-universe explanation that if I never got it, would have been fine. But now that I know, it's kind of like a little wink, wink, we're on the same page thing.
Right.
I don't need an origin story for Han's name.
Not his last fucking name. He could have just said Han Solo.
Right. It's really okay for him to just be. And that's the other thing. It would have been better had it been his agency. Had they been like, okay, well, we got to put a last name. All right. Well, I'm alone. So Han Solo, I guess. Yeah. That would have been funny. It was kind of ridiculous to take it out of his hands. Empire's
lackey giving it to him.
Right, and then like the Empire guy is supposed to be funny. That ain't funny. He ain't funny.
My other problem with it is the Imperial part, because I knew from lore that Han Solo was an Imperial pilot originally.
Yeah,
and I always thought he was part of the Empire willingly, and then he left because he was disenfranchised with it. But according to this film, which is canon, wow, that my voice broke there. so upset I get. According to this, he only joined the Empire as a way to get away from some gangsters, and then never really wanted to be there and ran away the first chance he got to be a heist man. And maybe that is true. Maybe I'm just like in the weeds with it, but I always thought of Han as a Imperial pilot that switched sides. But that's a small nitpick. This is a great origin story. Not only does it explain who Han is and where he came from and all that stuff, but I think my favorite part about this, as I was explaining it to someone today as we were watching it, and I told them what I love about this film is that Han goes from being a very kind of optimistic, we can get out of anything, the problem is you don't trust people, to in the end, and I think one of the coldest scenes of a Star Wars movie, he just straight up shoots Beckett. Just shoots him.
Yeah.
Before, and Beckett's clearly going to shoot him, you can tell, but like Han shoots him before he has a chance. He just shoots him dead. And then he goes over and like consoles him as he dies, because Han's not a murderer. But at the same time, for him to go from, no, we're all in this together, I need my partner, to just shoots him in the end. He has a character arc in this film of being a trusting, I'm optimistic to everyone. And it's like Beckett taught him, everyone's out to screw you. And if you go into this thinking that everyone's going to betray you, you can't be disappointed. And that's who Han becomes for the longest time, until he joins up with the Rebellion and meets Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia. That's great. That is a great explanation of why he is the way he is. That's fantastic.
And I would have loved more people to have seen that, and maybe, you know, even if they didn't change their opinion on the movie, to have seen that and been able to form an opinion versus, well, I didn't like that woke Last Jedi, even though they weren't calling it that at the time. I didn't like that, so I'm just not going to go see this movie. Yeah. I mean, again, that's fine. Do whatever you want. Stick it to the man if you must. But like, if you're gonna use it as a way to then say, well, this movie sucks because I didn't like the other one, fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Fuck yourself kindly.
Yeah. Like, it's not the same thing.
I can't abide by people who decide they don't like a thing before they've seen it. I can't do it.
We had this discussion with Ghostbusters 2016. You know, people. Yeah, it's fine to not like the movie. That's fine. Hunter and I disagree about it all the time. But we at least watched it and formed a valid opinion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. Anyway, so yeah, Solo, great film. I love so much about it. I love the robot, was fun. The little revolutionary robot. The action's good.
I don't elect to go to wherever the hell they were going.
It's just a really, really good film. And something I mentioned to Lindsay, that I didn't catch this the first time when I watched the film, and I guess I didn't catch it the second time if I watched it again, but there's a part, I think it's when Han meets Lando, which, by the way, once again, I love the fact that if you notice, Donald Glover calls Han Han, just like Lando does in the later series.
Oh, yeah.
And he also says Maelstrom instead of Maelstrom. For some reason, Lando can't get his A's right. I don't know what it is.
Donald Glover is, if nothing else, and who would have thought, right? Because this is a guy who was kind of half in on everything. He was kind of like a rapper, but he was also kind of acting. He is such a good fucking like actor and also musician. He's one of those guys who kind of elevated the game of, I'm going to do multiple things, but I'm also going to do all of them at extremely high levels.
He's also, I can't picture another person ever doing Lando other than Billy D. Williams, obviously. Billy Crystal. Was a great Lando. And this is,
hey, Luke, I'm here. What do you want from me? Hey. I don't know. Hey.
What's that, Lindsay?
You just pulled a me.
But I, now that I've seen him in this role, like obviously Billy D. Williams can't do the role anymore. We saw him in the sequels and it was bad.
Yes.
He's the best person to take the mantle. And so is this Alden guy, assuming, you know, the movie had fucking gone anywhere. But anyway, there's a part when they meet, and I think it's Lando that says to Tobias Beckett, played by Woody Harrelson, who is basically Han's mentor, and a great relationship between the two. I love the relationship between Han and Tobias Beckett. But he says to Beckett, he thanks him for killing Ara Singh. And Beckett's like, oh, I just pushed her. The fall's what killed her. I didn't catch that line the first time I watched it. And I was like, wait, Ara Singh sounds familiar. I looked it up. This is an established character in the Star Wars universe. And Beckett's the one that killed her. I did not know this. That's pretty cool, because now Beckett goes from being a character they made for this film who really meant nothing beyond the, you know, the mentor role to having a more of an impact on the Star Wars universe as a whole, because it is canon that he killed Ara Singh. That's pretty cool. I love Tobias Beckett. Although someone asked, why does he sound like he's from the South? And I'm like, because it's Woody Harrelson.
It's Woody Harrelson. Deal with it. Exactly.
Deal with it.
I mean, come on, man. Why are all the Imperials British? Like, if you're really going to get in the weeds on it, the answer is because they filmed those original movies over at Pinewood Studios in the UK. That's why Obi-Wan sounds that way.
British people sound like pompous asses. And, and that's why they make good, because they couldn't get Germans. Yeah.
Right. Are we really going to get in the weeds about voices? Why does Anakin become British when they put him in the suit?
I said this in the first movie, I didn't get to mention it. Why was one of the Hutts, like, he sounded like a Southern sheriff, flamboyantly gay one? I don't know.
I could not understand.
He speaks a basic.
And Let's stop talking about that film. Let's talk more about this film. This also has some great cameos in it. Darth Maul. I loved the part at the end with Darth Maul. That was very cool. He was also played played once again by Ray Park and voiced by the guy who did the Clone Wars version of him, the TV show. So,
yeah.
Everything about the film I thought worked. There were a couple scenes that felt a little long, but as a whole, I really, really liked this film. It's a good... I think this is a great Star Wars film. It's such a good Star Wars film. It's got the adventure. It's got the fun factor. Likeable characters. Yep. It's just good. Lindsay.
Very much so.
Lindsay, you go ahead. We've been talking a lot.
I fully enjoyed it, but from the original films, Han was my favorite character, so
it was everybody's favorite character.
I was all in on what was there. But no, I've gone back and watched this film multiple times. I enjoy it. It's one of those other ones, if I just want to put on something in the background, but I want it to be Star Wars, I'll pick this one and throw it on.
Yeah, it's a good one and done. You don't have to watch a series for it. You can watch this and it explains everything. I wish there was more context for what happens to Emilia Clarke's character after the fact, because I have no idea.
There's a comic series that goes through with her and the Red Sun and
Crimson Dawn.
And there's even another storyline somewhere down the lines after Han has been with Luke and Leia that she pops back up in the story and he's dodging questions.
Oh, that'd be great. I would like to see that in film, because I love Emilia Clarke. I've never watched Game of Thrones. I thought she was one of the only good parts other than Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Terminator reboot movie that they made. She's great. She was good in this. I don't want to sound like a man, but she was so good at being sexy and elegant and dangerous. She was everything you would want in this kind of film for that kind of character. You can see why men fall in love with her. You can see why they do stupid things for her. And she's also not completely a good character. She kind of played Han. Everyone played Han until the very end when he finally started shooting people.
Pretty much this whole movie is built on Shades of Grey, and it's something that you and I both have talked about how much we love, and especially in Star Wars. I mean, one of our one of the things we bonded over for The Last Jedi is the DJ character, Live Free, Don't Join. Somebody who recognizes that, hey, there's bad shit happening on both sides of this, and I don't want to play too much of the independent, oh, they're both bad guys, but, like, legitimately, you know, shackling yourself to one side of this war is going to lead to some issues somewhere down the line.
And it's not a lie. Like, there are good people on both sides. It's less that, and it's more there are bad people on both sides. And we'll get to that in a few, because we're going to talk about Rogue One next. but yeah, this is a good movie. It's a good heist movie. It's just a lot. It's fun. That's what Star Wars more than anything should be to me, is fun.
Yes.
The original trilogy was fun. The prequels now, I think, get more respect because they were also fun. They weren't great all the time, but they were fun. The sequels were not fun. They were not terrible, but they did not instill fun and adventure in me. They tried too hard.
The second one does. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here. Which pisses me off so much because people hate that movie so much, but it is fun. And it feels like a Star Wars movie for all everybody says, well, it's not how Luke would act. I'm not going to do it right now. I'm not going to be this guy.
But this movie was fun. Let's get to the reviews. For me, it's... oh, God. This is a hard one because... I'm going to give it one thumb up because it's not perfect. God damn. Ugh, I'm struggling with this one. I'm going to stick with one. I'm going to stick with one thumb up. It's really good. I've said pretty much everything I can say. This guy does a great job as Han Solo. Not as Harrison Ford, but as Han Solo. He does a great job. Everyone does such a good job in this film. It's a fun heist movie. It's tragic in parts. There's some sad scenes. There's some action. There's betrayal. It kind of reminds me of Andor because... it's everything operates in so much gray. This is a very gray film, and it's a great jumping off point. We already know where Luke comes from. We know where Anakin came from. We know where everybody comes from. Now we know where Han Solo comes from, and they do a good job of it. One thumb up for me. I loved it. So maybe it should be two thumbs up.
I was going to say, I loved it. One thumb up.
fuck it. Two thumbs up. I changed my mind. I can't sit here and kiss this movie's ass. And say I loved it, and then go one thumb up. No, it's two thumbs up.
It's all right. Okay, I can tell you what you're thinking. I can almost guarantee what you're thinking.
I'm comparing it to Rogue One.
And you're also looking ahead to all the other Star Wars movies and going, how can this be as good as all the others? But again, we have a 5-point rating scale here. There's going to be some shades of gray there, just like in the movie itself. Not everything that gets two thumbs up is equally as good.
Right.
I also am going to give this movie two thumbs up.
Yeah,
because I think this movie is a fucking blast. There's nothing in it that brings it down for me. I do agree that I think it's a little too long, but I also, this is one of those movies that as I'm watching scene by scene, I go, I really don't know what you cut here. I mean, there's probably just fractions of seconds from multiple scenes you could take away, and maybe that would get the overall time down.
What do you say, 10-15 minutes? Leave them in.
I do think that you know, over the 2.5, how much total is this? It's over the 2.5 mark, right?
Yeah, if
I
remember correctly. 2 hours, 15.
Okay, so it's over the 2 hour. I think 2 hours would have been a sweet spot. I think shaving about 10 to 15 minutes would have been good. But again, I can't tell you exactly where those times come from. It would have to be just, again, fractions of seconds from multiple scenes, probably extended establishing shots. Because the movie just works. It just keeps moving at a good clip. The whole coaxium thing is a nice little MacGuffin just to keep things going. You can imagine that even though they don't really talk about it much later, coaxium, Tabata, these little names that are thrown around for what makes Star Wars stuff work, we don't really want to know the details anyway. We just want to know that people are looking for it and they need it.
That's another thing, another little thing they threw in there, where they talk. Han always talked about the Millennium Falcon. I'm talking like Lando now. The Millennium Falcon is the only ship to make the Kessel Run in however many parsecs. Now you know what that means because they make the Kessel Run.
They explained it
in this film,
right? And they figure out how the whole parsecs thing works and the units of time and this. Yeah, it's just, again, like you said, it's just fun.
It's just fun.
Did I need an origin story for all this stuff? No. I was perfectly satisfied with the Han Solo that I had that shows up in A New Hope, figuring out who he is and going from there.
Do I need to know where he got his blaster? No, but it also didn't upset me.
No. Right. I was going to say, other than a few little, and really the only thing that I didn't like was the name. I liked it just fine. I just think he should have been the one to say it.
Right.
It was just a thing of you're giving the line to the wrong character. Everything else I think is fun. I think it's just it's a good time to watch. I want to know what else is going to happen afterward, even though I know where it's going. I would really, like you said, I would love to have had a follow-up with the character of Kira and know what's going on with Darth Maul that was on screen and not just... Star Wars is the prototype for we're always complaining about the extended universe.
Yeah,
and going, please just make a movie make out a movie of this out. So I can watch it.
I also would have liked to have... It'll never happen because of ages and stuff, but I would have loved to have a Tobias Beckett movie. I want to know why he is who he is. I want to know what he did. I really loved Woody Harrelson in this movie because I never thought Woody Harrelson would be in a fucking Star Wars film. And I love it. God help me, I love it.
It works.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's just a lot of fun. And so, there's nothing about this that I can't recommend. If you like Star Wars, you will like this movie. And again, I think that's what irritates me so much about, you know, it operated at such a loss and I didn't like The Last Jedi. Well, then maybe this is what you should have gone to see because it's really not much like that movie.
Right. It's not.
And frankly, I think
the women know their place. They're not heroes. God. You know, there's a black guy in it, but he's not the main hero. So don't worry. There's no trans characters in it. So you're safe. Go to your safe space. You know,
you've got to put a disclaimer on these things. I talked about Donald Glover there, and I'm not going to sit here and just harp on him all night or hype him up all night. We were watching this movie came out around the time that we were playing Battlefront 2 all the time.
Yes, because they put the only
alternate character that I wanted. I always, anytime we played Heroes versus Villains, I always wanted Lando, and I always wanted the Donald Glover version because he just looks and acts so fucking cool.
Yeah, even though Harrison Ford, you know, Alden, he doesn't look as much like Harrison Ford as Donald Glover kind of looks like Lando, just younger. He doesn't quite match it, but he's so good in it. He looks like Han Solo. He just doesn't look like Harrison Ford. That's the only thing in this movie. The only disclaimer should be don't expect Harrison Ford. That's it.
And this is why that quote is what it is.
Check your expectations
at the door.
Yeah, it's not.
It is fun, it's fast-paced, and it's a good adventure. It's, again, if I can give a goofy movie two thumbs up for the exact same reasons, I'm absolutely going to do it for Solo.
What about you, Lindsay? Where do you come in on this one?
Two thumbs up, no questions.
Yeah.
I love it.
Like, I love this movie, and I kind of want to watch it again.
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching it today.
I may watch it tomorrow.
I feel like this is the epitome of a movie that gets better with time. It's like good leftovers. Yeah. Like, you let them sit in the fridge for a day or two, and they're just going to soak up all those juices.
You really appreciate what you had. You know,
yes, you could. That's the other thing. This comes out a couple of years before COVID.
Yeah.
I mean... Ooh, oh man,
it was a different world back then. All right.
It's just good.
Let's wrap up this trilogy of films for tonight's extras and epilogues. And we were talking about Rogue One. All right, I'm just going to say it now. I'll say it now to get it out of the way. This is my favorite Star Wars film of all time. It is.
Yeah.
I'll explain why, but just spoiler alert. Released December 16th, 2016. Written by Gareth Edwards, who is a great, great director.
Yes.
He also did Godzilla of the Hollywood. Let me look that up before I say too much.
check your facts before you wreck yourself on this one. I'm going to tag.
I think it's Evans that did.
Oh,
God damn it. Let me look it up. You talk for a second.
Well, Gareth Edwards has done some other things and I would like to see. No, yeah, he directed Godzilla 2014. Oh, I'm looking at it right now.
Thank God.
Yeah. Yeah. So he did an independent movie called Monsters in 2010, which I know nothing about, but apparently that's his original big claim to fame.
So his, that Monsters film is what got him the Godzilla film because it was, it was a low budget monster film with great special effects. I've seen the movie. I didn't care for it. I'll be honest. Bob and I watched it.
Gotcha.
I didn't think it was great, but the effects and the direction was good. So he got Godzilla.
He also has not directed much at all. He did Monsters, he did Godzilla, he did Rogue One, and then last year did a movie called The Creator, and that's it.
Yeah, he doesn't do a lot. He does do a lot, but what he's done is memorable.
Pick and choose.
Directed by Gareth Edwards, written by Chris Weitz, starring, and this is a great cast, Felicity Jones, who I never remember her name. She plays Jyn Erso. I always say Daisy Ridley, and then immediately correct myself and go, no, that's Rey.
Yep.
Felicity Jones. Diego Luna, who, weirdly enough, he was my least favorite part of this movie originally when I saw it. The Andor series changed my mind about him.
It expanded his character.
Yeah. Ben Mendelsohn is fantastic in this movie. Mads Mikkelsen is in it as Galen Erso. And Alan Tudyk as
Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker. Donnie Yen. Like this movie, this movie is a who's who of wow, that's cool.
It's stacked.
James Earl Jones comes back for Vader. Right. They brought Peter Cushing back from the grave to play Grand Moff Tarkin.
Well, if you want to go that route, they also brought Carrie Fisher back from the grave.
Yep, and this was, I believe, right after she died, wasn't it? This was released very close.
It was literally days, if not, at most, it was like a week after she passed.
Yeah.
Because I remember we saw this in theaters either the night it came out or the weekend it came out. And, of course, nobody knew that was going to happen at the end, that that's where it was going. And I remember getting a little choked up when they show it. And now you watch it and it's like the CG's not great. You say what you will about it. Yeah, it's a little Uncanny Valley. But even just getting to see her again, kind of archival footage was in that moment, it was too much. I couldn't handle it.
Same thing. I know people have criticized using CG for Peter Cushing. When if you watch the prequels, especially Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, they had another actor portray a younger Grand Moff Tarkin, and he looked a lot like Peter Cushing. He did a good job in a non-speaking role. He was just visual. I thought it was cool to see Peter Cushing back. And yeah, it's CG, so you can tell something's not quite right. But I thought they did a good job with him.
Yeah.
And they made Tarkin an important character in this film. But anyway, we'll talk about that here in a second.
Carrie, by the way, passed. She passed a week and a half after the movie came out. So I must be thinking of when we saw it afterward. I think we went and saw this a couple of times. I'm almost positive we saw this twice in theaters.
As you should. 134 minutes long. It's one of the. It's about the same as Solo, and same way. Maybe a couple things could have been clipped here and there, but I'm fine with it. I love this movie. Yeah. Box office versus budget versus box office. $250 million budget versus $1 billion box office. This is a hit. This is a pretty big hit.
And
critically was also well received. 84% Rotten Tomatoes, 7.5 out of 10. It's a movie crammed with fan service. When it's done this well, there's little to complain about and much to adore. And yeah, I agree. This is another film that kind of explains a couple things and also throws in a couple of cameos. Like the drunken guy from Tatooine before they go to Tatooine. They're there. This also, the biggest thing about this film is they pretty much made this film to address one plot hole from the original Star Wars film.
Yep.
That was the point.
Or at the very least, one kind of unexplained thing. Not necessarily a plot hole, but something that if you thought about it too much made you go, well, that's weird, right? Yeah.
You have this
why is that there?
You have this armored Death Star, which is a planet killer. But you left an exhaust pipe open or something for people to shoot? What is that about? Well, they explained it this. This is the story of Galen Erso, played by Mads Mikkelsen, who was an Imperial scientist, basically, realized they were terrible, and he left. They're trying to drag him back in because work on the Death Star is stalling. He refuses. They kill his wife and kidnap him while his daughter is placed in the care of Saul Guerrera, played by Forrest Whitaker. She grows up to kind of be a punk, and eventually, she gets caught up in the blossoming rebellion, including some people that would go on to star in a lot of the shows. Forget her name. It's like Guinevere. She plays Mon Mothma. She also plays Mon Mothma in Andor and the live-action Star Wars show. So they brought her back, which I thought was really cool.
For everything.
Yeah.
Yep.
And this movie, Hunter's looking it up, so I'm stalling.
Genevieve O'Reilly.
There you go. Not Guinevere.
Because I also could not remember it.
She's really good. She looks like Dana Scully. She looks like Scully.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of resemblance.
Yeah. I can't quite put my finger on everything that to me separates this film from any other Star Wars film. It doesn't feel like any other Star Wars film. The opening music isn't the familiar Star Wars song. They don't have a lot of the same Star Wars music cues in the film, but they do have similar ones. It's like, it's almost what you recognize, but not quite. And that's what this movie is. It's a Star Wars film, but it doesn't feel like a Star Wars film sometimes. There's no Jedi. There's Force because some of the characters
kind of.
Yeah, they kind of, it's like a religion dedicated to the Force, but they're not Jedi. It's kind of strange. This to me has the best group of characters that they've put together in a Star Wars film since the original trilogy. You've got Jen Erso, played to perfection by Felicity Jones. You've got Diego Luna as Cassian Andor, who I didn't like originally. I thought he was the most boring part, but then I watched the show and changed my mind. I watched it again today, and I liked him a lot more. Donnie Yen, and I don't remember the other guy, but the guy with the giant gun. You've got K2SO, played by Alan Tudyk. It's a good, memorable crew of characters. And I think one of the things I love about this film especially is, much like the prequel trilogy, you know it's not going to end well. Like, you have a feeling in your gut that something bad is going to happen to these guys. It's the how. And they do a good job. This is a sad movie. This, to me, is the bleakest Star Wars film. But it's also the most hopeful. This movie has so many emotions wrapped into one film. Is it perfect? No, nothing's perfect. There were a couple parts of this film that made me cringe a little bit. They gave Darth Vader a one-liner. And even though I love it, it's still kind of weird to hear. It's a little too cheeky
For Darth Vader. Like, you don't really get that. That's Vader as Anakin, and I guess you could make the argument
they were channeling Clone Wars Anakin.
Right, he's still a little too close to when he was, you know, Anakin Skywalker at this point. So you could. There's an argument to be made, but it's a tough one.
One of my favorite. Speaking of that part where. Krennic,
director Krennic.
When he go, which I love his character. He's probably my favorite character in the film. He's so good, and he's so smarmy. But I love him. I love his weapon. When we played the original Battlefront, I always played him.
We all know that you like the smarmy Imperials.
I love the smarmy fascists.
Especially when they wield a six-shooter in space.
Yes, like that's fucking awesome. His line at the beginning where...
Or the slug thrower, I guess they would call it.
When Galen tells him that his wife had passed, and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then she comes running up, he goes, Lydia, back from the grave. He's just such a dick. But when he goes to visit Vader to basically beg for attention, because he's so smarmy and all he wants is recognition. The fact that Vader has basically a castle on Mustafar where Anakin Skywalker died, to me, is very, very cool. That Vader turned it into his realm, basically, of fire and ash. So good. The symbolic as fuck. I love that. This is also the movie that gives us the, in my opinion, the greatest Darth Vader scene in the history of Star Wars.
It is a great scene.
They turned Darth Vader into a straight-up horror movie monster at the end of this film.
Yeah.
You see why people fear him so much. I love it, and I especially love, this is going to sound weird, I love the sadness, the ending shot, but before when they get the Death Star plans to the right people, and Cassian and Jyn, one, I love the fact that they didn't have a romance, thank God, you don't need a romance and everything, they didn't kiss at the very end, but knowing that the world's about to end, the world has literally been shot by the Death Star, it's going to explode. They have no choice, but they just sit there on the beach and hug each other as the flames and the death comes toward them. It's super sad. The part where the blind monk, played by Donnie Yen, passes away, dies after saving the day, and his partner looks at him and just sees he's dead, and it's just like, well, I got nothing left, so he just starts shooting everybody. Even the robot, when he dies, it's so sad. Like, this, I don't think they've ever done tragedy in Star Wars very well. Episode 3, despite the fact that I love it, the whole Anakin and Padme, it's kind of cringy at least a little bit. This movie, I think, is the best they've ever done with, like, raw emotion to make you feel sad for the characters and what happens to them. So, I'll stop talking because I will talk for the rest of the night. Hunter, go ahead. Take over for me.
I mean, I don't want to get too far ahead of the reviews themselves, although I guess we're kind of launching into that to some degree. I think it's a good movie. I really do. I'm not as enamored with this movie as a lot of other people are, for whatever reason. I have a tough time explaining it. I do think it's really good, and I think most of what you said I very much fall in line with. But I think I got a lot of what you got out of this movie from The Empire Strikes Back. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of the not feeling the hope of the people who were trying to rise up from underneath this oppression in that movie early on. And so... Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think my biggest problem with this movie is that for me, and you said it yourself, whether you meant to or not, so many of these characters are not nearly as memorable as I want them to be. The big guy with the gun, you couldn't tell me his name right now if I put that gun to your head, could you?
No, I can't. I can't tell you Donnie Yen's character either.
Yeah.
Even though I like both of those characters, I don't remember their names, but I still liked them.
Yeah. So one of the things I really do like about this movie, and I remember saying this after we saw it the first time, was that this movie, more than any other Star Wars movie to me, feels like when you, you kind of said this, but when you take Star Wars away from its mythology, when you take it out of the hands of the creator, right? You get it away from Lucas, you get it away from the same people who have kind of done the same thing over and over, and all that stuff is great, but what else can it be?
Yeah.
What we got for many years for that, and what you guys now, of course, have gone through, was things like tabletop games and video games and comic books and stuff. Dawn of Defiance, the Star Wars campaign that we played on PZ85 Plays, our longest running campaign, was set in the exact same time frame as this. And if you guys may recall, it played a lot like this movie a lot of the time. It's a ragtag band of people working together against the Empire, doing what they can. Well, yeah, but they did too. I mean, come on, man. Donnie Yen's character, Chirrut Imwe, by the way, I do remember his name for whatever reason, is basically a Jedi. Somewhere.
I think Lindsay's grabbing him. Yeah, there he is.
He's basically a Jedi, right?
Yeah.
Uses the Force, maybe doesn't use a lightsaber, but same principles.
Which was actually based on an original idea for the first movies, where you had these characters who weren't Jedi, but this religion, and I forget what they're called, it's the will of something.
Guardians of the Wills.
Yes.
Guardians of the Wills.
Yes.
Because that was one of the parts of the titles for the original draft. But yeah, it's very much like watching a live action tabletop game, like watching it being recorded and you know, shot on film in some incredible locations with some incredible casting. The parts are all there, but for me personally, for whatever reason, sometimes there are parts of it that just don't line up. This movie, more than Solo, I feel like is a little too long. There are times that I think we can speed this up. There's no need to go through the process of all of this, especially when I know how this movie's going to end. Yes, I know where Han Solo's going, but this movie, like you said, more than ever, I know exactly what's going to happen when it's all said and done.
I think, and I want to throw this out there before I forget it, because I forget these things often, I think this movie had the unenviable task of being a Star Wars film that didn't have a trilogy to expand on the characters. And also didn't have, other than Vader, and Vader's basically a cameo, there were no Star Wars characters that you could graft onto. Because like with Solo, you already have Han Solo, you've got Chewie.
Right, you're just telling your story. Like,
right. All the original films, the prequels, even the sequels, have these characters that have been established. This was the first Star Wars film that not only broke away from the Jedi, but also broke away from any established character you really knew, other than, again, Grand Moff Tarkin and Vader.
And they're the only anchors, and they're not really anchors because they're just the villains who exist to work against, you know, the rebellion.
So these characters had to win you over within the film itself, and I think they did a good job. Now, again, I don't remember two of their names, but I love those characters.
Saw Gerrera technically was there because he was in the Clone Wars series.
Not for me, because I never watched it.
Nope. Can't help you there on that one. I was in the same boat there. It was kind of like when General Grievous shows up and
he's great in Clone Wars. Who?
Everyone's like, this guy's cool. And I'm like, yeah, he is. Who the fuck is he?
Yeah. Why is he Wheeze? You got to watch the expanded universe.
Here's what I think about this movie, just as in a nutshell. What they would do years later with things becoming like extended TV series, like Andor, like Ahsoka, like that, I think I would have liked this movie more as a miniseries. And I'm not talking about a full season, 8-episode, whatever. I think even 4 episodes would have been good. So weirdly enough, I think it would have been better had it been longer, despite the fact that I think the movie is a little too long. I think if it was broken up and certain things were expanded upon and you could get maybe 4-hour-long episodes out of it, it would have been great.
I agree with that.
As it is, it's really good, but it's not great for me.
Yeah, and I agree with that 100%.
We will get more of the lead up to it with the end of Andor.
Yeah, so I think
I should mention this. You guys talked about this earlier. You have both seen Andor. I have not.
And
might also affect.
Lindsay, didn't they say season 2 of Andor leads directly into Rogue One?
Well, I thought they were doing 3 seasons of it.
But like, has to be. Because you can't, spoiler alert, you can't follow up on Rogue One with Andor because everyone, if you've never seen this film, stop listening now. 3, 2, 1, everyone dies. Everyone.
Yeah. Well, you already said the Death Star targets the planet. I mean, you don't come back from that. No, that's not a...
I really love this movie, really established the power of the Death Star, the power of the Empire. It established the hopelessness and yet finding hope in the hopelessness with Jyn Erso. Them talking about the birth of the rebellion. This movie feels like and maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me that thinks this. But to me, this is the most mature Star Wars film. This, to me, is the most like serious in tone and mature.
Yeah.
Without the edgelordiness, for the most part, the humor is pretty solid without being over the top. This feels like a an adult's Star Wars film, for better and worse.
Okay, I know this sounds like the same thing, but here to take that and expand on it, or maybe not, maybe just to clarify it for my own purposes. But while it might not be for adults, it's the one that's the most not for kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that sounds like the same thing, but to me, it's not.
I get
not,
what you're saying. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's think
still
anybody,
a Star Wars film. So
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
But goddamn.
Yeah.
Whew. Saw Gerrera. I don't know what's up with Forrest Whitaker and the way he talks in that movie.
Because this. Saw Gerrera has gone insane.
He's insane. And, the person I was watching with was like, you know, Vader's got like a built-in breathing machine. Maybe you should look into that instead of taking that fucking oxygen tank every 5 minutes and sucking it up.
The technology exists. There are ways to make clearly. It happen.
Also,
the movie's beautiful. I'll say that, by the way. The cinematography in this movie is maybe better than any other Star Wars movie. I really will give it
the
something
scene,
over the others.
The opening scene where they land that ship and they walk over the grassy hill to Galen Erso's home. Gorgeous. Gorgeous shot. Yep. Love that shot.
Yeah, I really love the way this movie looks. I also think, and man, it's not his fault because, my God, you have to follow up on this, but I didn't realize until I was looking into it, and I just was reminded while we were trying to figure out Mon Mothma's actor's name. The music for this movie was done by Michael Giacchino, and he's not John Williams, man. I'm sorry.
No,
he's just
the music
not.
Is the only part that I would complain about because, like I said, it feels
and it's
like
not like
Star
it's
Wars.
Bad.
No.
It's just not.
It doesn't hit the right note.
It's
yeah.
a different
right.
tone.
Other than the parts where they do throw in some of the Star Wars, like there's parts where they put the Imperial March theme in there a little bit with Vader and stuff like that. That feels like an old friend. You're seeing him again. But for the most part, the music is good, but forgettable.
Yeah.
You know, Lindsay, jump in here real quick. Give us your thoughts.
Yeah. I really liked this one. I do agree. I kind of like that it's showing us the, I don't want to say like, everyman side of stuff, but it's kind
non-Jedi.
Of
non-Jedi.
Like,
when you get bored of fucking Skywalkers,
other than Vader, this kind of helped. I think this helped open up some of the other genres for within the Star Wars universe that it doesn't just have to be fantasy
Jedi
type stuff. Like, and that's kind of what I've been liking with all the different television series is that you're getting the different versions. You're getting the spy thriller. You're getting the assassins in different shows. Like, you're getting more of the flavors that it's in there, which indeed goes back to it being more like that the RPG style that you've got your different character classes in it.
Yeah, because wasn't this the first Star Wars movie, TV show, etc. that directly changed it from like the Jedi and Skywalkers and stuff like that? This was the first. This was the one that kind of went, you can do other stories in the Star Wars universe that doesn't have to be, because this is very much a spy thriller, whereas Solo is very much a heist movie.
A Star Wars story.
Right.
Because the main Star Wars story is about the Skywalkers. That's just the way it is.
I was going to say I want to see more Star Wars stories, but they're on Disney Plus. They're the TV shows now.
They're TV shows.
Yeah. Yep. And one of my favorite things about this movie is it also, and the Andor show does the same thing. It shows you, like we said earlier, we talked about that maybe not that there's good people on both sides, but there are bad people on both sides. This movie kind of shows that because Andor himself is a very flawed character. He is a killer. He kills that dude straight up once he gets the information from him. The guy's nervous and he knows he'll probably stitch out when the Empire comes. So he kills him. He just shoots him dead. There's a part later on where they say, they tell Cassian, when you see Galen, kill him, like assassinate him, take him out. The rebels were not above using dirty tactics to win because that's what war is. No one goes into war and comes out of it fucking clean. It's war, you know?
Yeah, the term hero is a very shades of gray kind of term when it comes to, to war.
Star Wars did, for the longest time, it was so much rebel good, Empire bad. The Imperials were this horrible Nazi-like regime, and the rebels were all heroic and plucky. This movie kind of flipped that where, hey, sometimes the Empire isn't the worst, and also sometimes the rebels aren't clean, squeaky clean good guys. It's war. It's dirty. That's what it is. High stakes.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the reviews, and then we'll wrap this up. It's two thumbs up for me. I can't give Solo two thumbs up and not give this one, because this is my favorite Star Wars film. I've said everything. I don't think I can repeat myself too much, but this is the most mature storyline. I loved the characters. I loved the hope and hopelessness storyline aspects of it. Vader is a lot of fun in this movie. He's scary as hell. Other than the music not being up to par, and that's probably just a personal taste, to me, this is a perfectly cromulent and near perfect Star Wars film, and it's my favorite in the entire series. So it's two thumbs up for me. I'll stop it there, Hunter.
I'm going to give it one, as you might have guessed from what I had to say, and that's not just a personal preference. It's not that I don't see what people love about it. Everything you said, I totally understand where you're coming from. I just think that there are things about it that don't strike for me as this is as good as it gets when it comes to Star Wars. Star Wars to me is a lot of the things that this movie is, but it is also fun. And one thing this movie is not is fun any way, shape, or form.
This is the dark one.
And I love that. Well, and so was Empire, but Empire had its moments of fun as well, right? We'll talk about that when we get around to the original trilogy. This movie has, Lindsay said earlier, the unfortunate distinction of being something that does not have, well, we all were kind of talking about this, that does not have something to build upon other than a plot point from another movie. It has characters who you know are not coming back before this movie starts. They're not going to make it back out the other side. And so, I don't know. I guess to me, maybe had I seen this movie in chronological order, in terms of in-universe chronology, and not known where things were going, that might have made a big difference. But as it stands, it has some, to me, maybe its biggest cardinal sin is some forgettable characters that I like, but that are also ultimately kind of forgettable. If I can't remember their names, then it's not going to stick with me. I think it's beautifully shot. I think it does some really interesting things. I like that it pushes the series in a new direction. I don't think any of that stuff is flawed. I just think that the movie as a whole has some flaws. I think it's a little long. I think it's a little unfocused at times. Andor might change my opinion about that. I will say I'm glad the movie exists. I still think it's very good, and I like it. But I just think that it's not my favorite movie, and I don't think that it is the perfect epitome of what Star Wars should be.
It's not. It's whereas, 100%
whereas Solo agree. Is, yeah. Whereas Solo is, and that's why I can give it two thumbs up. This one to me is one. It's definitely a step in an interesting direction. I don't want to say the right one, because I think Star Wars is already in the right direction. But I like that they're doing different things. Yeah. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to doing that in a few weeks.
I'm glad you mentioned that this is not a good idea of what Star Wars represents, because you're right. I didn't think about that. I'm not changing my review, because
no, you shouldn't.
And the darkness is something I like about it, but if I were telling somebody, hey, I want you to get into the Star Wars universe, I would not show them this first, for many reasons.
No.
But this does not carry the tone.
Even if you're an adult, even if you're mature, the only time that I would recommend this movie to someone who's not a Star Wars fan is if you're the guy who has watched Band of Brothers like six times since it came out on HBO. If you like war stories, like if you're really into military history and stuff, I think this is the kind of thing that you, it might not get you into Star Wars, but you would appreciate it more than other Star Wars movies. Because other Star Wars movies are epics. They're not really just about wars.
Right. And this movie, I forgot about this. I want to mention before we get to Lindsay. Two things. One, this has two scenes in it that have always been two of my favorite scenes from the entire series. That is the aforementioned Darth Vader scene in the hallway, which is just amazing. When the first time you see the AT-AT on the beach of Scarif coming through the trees, it's terrifying. Yeah. They made them truly terrifying, all of these characters. Because the AT-ATs were in, you know, Empire Strikes Back, obviously. And they were cool, but this made them seem scary. They were horrifying in this film.
Yes.
Very good. And the other thing is, it's not a fun film, but it does have two of my favorite fun jokes in the entire Star Wars story. The part where I forget the exact droid model, but the one that looks like just like K2SO walks out in front of Jyn and she shoots it dead, and then K2 is behind it, and he looks down and he goes, "You did." It's something like, "How did you know that? You did know that wasn't me, right?" And she just goes, "Oh, yeah." Just the sadness in his voice of, "Oh, he would have just shot me dead." Right.
And you didn't care.
the part where K2 pretends like he's holding Andor hostage when the Imperials catch him. And apparently this was ad-libbed by Diego Luna and Alan Tudyk. Cassian starts to talk, and K2 smacks him and says, "Quiet, and I got a fresh one waiting for you." And he puts his hand up. That fucking cracks me up every time. All right, Lindsay, go ahead. Give us your thoughts.
I also am going with two thumbs up on this one. I remember originally going into it, I'm like, don't get invested because they're all going to die. But I still got invested in these characters. And even though I know what's happening, like, I get all the same emotions every time I rewatch this film. Like, it doesn't dull out.
And it's sad. And there's some part of me that there's a part of me that is attached. I'm unlike most people. Well, that's not true. I'm not special. There's a part of me that is more attached to sadness than happiness. Like, to me, sadness is more palpable. Sadness makes more sense to me than happiness. So I can attach myself to this movie better than I can attach myself to fun and joy of, like, you know, the other Star Wars films. But that's not a good thing. That's just a me thing, you know? That's not saying that this movie is better for it. No, it just means I'm worse, probably. I know he's laughing. That was a joke. Meant to be.
Sure.
Oh, wait. Is Hunter frozen? Oh, Hunter's frozen. Yes. That's why. Okay. I thought he was just ignoring me.
I did too.
He looks so serious, staring down like he's disappointed in me. He's gonna realize at some point. Projecting. Yeah,
that it's broken.
Yeah. What do we do here? I'm gonna message him. Let's. You keep telling me your review of Star Wars while I do this.
But yeah, no, I don't know. I enjoy the film. I do like that it is still sprinkled with a little bit of humor, even though for the most part it is a darker version of the films, and it is more of a downer compared to all the other ones. Definitely favorite scene is what leads right up into A New Hope with, like, Vader just going to town on everyone in that ship.
Yeah, tear assing through the entire galaxy. Right.
Yeah, that scene is definitely the scene to steal scenes in that film.
Yeah, 100% agree. Like, we're gonna.
I would. Yeah. Again, might not recommend this as the first Star Wars film to show someone, but if they're gonna watch a Star Wars film, they should definitely watch this one along with, like, the originals.
Watch all of them except for Clone Wars. And while we wait for Hunter to get back, we'll jump into our rankings and then get the hell out of here. And hopefully by the time Lindsay and I are done, Hunter will jump back in and we can get his thoughts. If I were to rank these films, and we'll rank them amongst each other each week, it's definitely, for me, it's Rogue One, it's tops, then Solo, then way down at the bottom, Clone Wars. The difference between Solo and Rogue One is minimal because they're both great movies, well acted, great graphics, different tones, but both really good stories. And then you have Clone Wars, which is, I'm sorry, none of those. I know you love Clone Wars more than the rest of us.
I don't love the film. I love the series.
Right.
There's a difference.
Hunter's internet crash. Should we wait or wrap it up?
We'll probably just wrap it up.
I'd hate to get his rankings in, although I'll tell you, Hunter's. Well, what about you, Lindsay? What's your rankings?
Mine is probably the same as yours. It's going to be Rogue One, Solo, and then Clone Wars.
Yeah. And I'll tell you Hunter's rankings now because I already know what it would be. It would be Solo, then Rogue One, then way down at the bottom, Clone Wars. Because it's just a bad film.
Yeah.
It's just a bad film.
Yeah.
We disagree on the top one, but we disagree on the worst one. Yeah, he's trying to get it back up. So there it is. That's our review for the miscellaneous Star Wars films, Clone Wars, Solo, and Rogue One. Next week, we will be back with a new episode, but we are not doing Star Wars next week. We're doing Fallout. We're reviewing the Prime series because we all watched it and we have our thoughts on it. We want to jump on Fallout week next week. Not only is it Fallout on Extras and Epilogues, but we're also starting our Fallout campaign on PZ85 Plays. It's a one-shot. And then on Thursday, we're doing a fun thing on After Dark where we design our own vaults. But after that, the week after, it's going to be episodes 1, 2, 3, which is the prequel trilogy, then 4, 5, 6, then 7, 8, 9 throughout the entire month. It's Star Wars month. on PZ85. And next show tomorrow, After Dark, we have a nice Star Wars themed show. I won't say too much about it, but you got to tune in for it. So we're going to wrap it up there. The balcony is closed. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Let us know which Star Wars films you love, of course, down in the comments. Like and subscribe. No, you can't do either of those things, probably. I don't think we have a setup for that. But we'll be back tomorrow with an all-new episode of After Dark. We'll see you then. And, well, Hunter's not here, so Lindsay, you do the honors. Take us out.
May the Force be with you.